You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. This is a day of rare agreement in Washington, D.C. Agreement in particular about the strategic dilemma that is the Sino-American relationship right now. Political agreement, mostly. Military and national security agreement as well. Economic agreement, too. There are two committee hearings on Capitol Hill today in which China is agenda item number one. One of those hearings in prime time, actually, for easier television viewing. The Biden administration and Congress are working on, among other things, economic tools the United States might use in its relationship with Beijing right now. Trade is on that list. Tariffs, of course, other measures as well. Also, American investment over there. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer gets us going.
For years, China was a free-for-all for U.S. companies and investors. If you wanted to buy stock in a Chinese firm that makes technology used by China's military, no problem. Sam Sachs, a Yale Law School senior fellow studying China tech policy, says there's a long history of
types of international commerce involving these kinds of defense industry companies and their subsidiaries that would probably make the national security community's head spin.
The head spinning prompted the Trump administration to issue a list of Chinese companies that were off limits for U.S. investors. The thinking is you don't want U.S. money going to companies that could turn around and use it to benefit China's military. President Biden has expanded that list to 59 entities, but Sachs says the list only focuses on investments in those companies' stock.
It wouldn't cover a joint venture or a partnership with those companies.
Although U.S. export controls could prohibit that, and that's an approach favored by Weifeng Zheng, a senior research fellow at George Mason University. He says limits on exports to China are more effective than investment bans. Just last fall, the Biden administration announced new restrictions on the sale of U.S. chip technology to China.
I don't think money is what's lacking with Chinese companies. The Chinese government could easily invest a lot of money into these key sectors.
Even so, the Biden administration is under a lot of pressure from China hawks to beef up its investment restrictions. Scott Paul is head of the Alliance for American Manufacturing. He wants the White House to set up a government review board to decide if a foreign investment would be a threat to U.S. national security.
A potential investment would need to be disclosed, and a determination would be made about whether or not the investment would pose a concern.
It's a tricky balance, though. The administration is trying to limit investment in China on national security grounds without overdoing it and affecting the competitiveness of U.S. companies. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
The news from the conference board today was not great. It's a business research group, by the way. The conference board is perhaps best known for its monthly index of consumer confidence. And confident we consumers are not right now. Down was the headline index for the second month in a row. We're especially not confident when asked what we think things are going to be like 6 months from now. But 6 months from now is 6 months from now, and today is today. And American consumers are going out with a capital O-U-T. Sales at bars and restaurants were up something like 7% January from December, up about 25% from January a year ago. That is according to the most recent report on retail sales. What do you suppose that might tell us? Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes is keeping tabs on bar and restaurant tabs.
These days, Dale Cook is eating lunch out on a daily basis. I met him just outside Cooper's Tavern in Baltimore, where he'd had the crab soup, a burger, and a business meeting.
I had a manager tell me a long, long time ago when I first got in the business, when you're paying for someone's lunch, it's a whole lot harder for them to say no.
A lot of people are paying for meals out these days. What at one point was logistically or financially out of reach now seems like a priority for many Americans. Inside, the restaurant's bustling. 24-year-old server Lyneth Rivera pours iced tea and soda and is dreaming of an even busier season ahead.
I'm hoping that it's super busy that I can't even think.
Rivera's a mom and a part-time nursing student, so says she only goes out once a month.
But on that day, I will go all out, so, and then spend just as much as I would spend once a week.
That kind of pent-up demand is part of what's driving this increased spending at bars and restaurants, says Bank of America economist Aditya Bhave.
Right? If you, before the pandemic, were eating out twice a week and then you never got to eat out during the pandemic, you could go through a period where you eat out three times a week.
Andy says the question is whether this is a short-term celebratory period or if it's a new way of spending. Back outside Cooper's Tavern in Baltimore, customer Andrew Ross says he feels obligated to spend in this way after seeing restaurants close during the pandemic.
And it was really sad, all these like local businesses just going away. And so now it feels more incumbent on us to kind of use them since they're available.
He says it's important to maintain social spaces in his community. They're worth the price of a burger and some crab soup. In Baltimore, I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.